This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome, everyone, to Podcast 69 South, where we cuss and discuss true crime, cold cases, current events, and hot topics, along with our state of society today. This is your trigger warning. Our podcast content is produced for adult listeners 18 years of age and older. We discuss situations that may be offensive and triggering to some listeners. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Welcome back, everybody, to 69 South Podcast. I'm Chop, your host, and with me always, riding shotgun, is my beautiful co-host, Julie. How are you doing today?
I'm amazing.
Today, we're getting into the story of Eric Parks. We're going to get into the PCA and everything involved in the case, but it basically involves some minors and a mother and a child predator. Let's get into it.
So officers were called to the area of East Columbus Street and Home Avenue for a physical altercation with multiple parties fighting, and a male, they stated, was knowingly sending naked and inappropriate pictures and videos to minors, as well as attempting to meet up with them to conduct nefarious activities. The officer arrived at the area and observed a male attempting to walk away from a group of people following him. I advised him to sit down as he was bleeding from his face.
I can't help but chuckle when I get a visual view of this shit because I know the story. Go ahead. Sorry.
So the officer requested medical to respond to the scene and asked additional units to go after the other group of juveniles that the officer observed leaving the scene as they arrived.
The male, identified as Eric Parks, was like flailing around and screaming. He would not really answer any questions, as he stated that they did not believe that he was not the one who sent the inappropriate pictures and videos to the juveniles. Eric denied the accusations adamantly and stated that his account was hacked and that he did not send anything that they were mistaking him of sending. The officers made contact with the party as they were walking away and obtained video footage of not only the fight that had just happened, but also the identities of the juveniles and adults on scene. EMS arrived and took over the patient care for Eric.
The officer walked over to the area where the other officers and juveniles were. The officer asked them what their version of events was, and each juvenile had their own story to tell.
Before we get any further, you know that's always what people say when they get caught doing some dumb shit or they get fucked up and cuss out their friends or cuss out their family is, my account got hacked. I don't know about you, but I don't think that my Facebook account or any account I've ever had has ever really been hacked, where people was talking shit that would get me in a bad position. Do you?
I keep my digital stuff locked down. I won't even use like public Wi-Fi.
I know, but I mean, I'm just saying, people always say, my account got hacked. We know one of our biggest fans, man, the little dude used to get drunk all the time and talk shit to people, and he would be like, My account got hacked, Chops.
And Facebook would shut him down.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't get hacked. He was just talking nonsense.
So, first of all, that's the first thing motherfuckers start saying when they say some shit or do some shit that they don't want, or they get caught or don't want nobody thinking it's them. My shit got hacked.
But in all reality, some people's stuff really does get hacked. And I couldn't imagine somebody getting hacked and that happening to them if they really didn't do it.
Right, but that ain't the case with this motherfucker.
So the first miner stated that the group of juveniles had attempted to confront Eric for sending inappropriate message, knowing his friend was underage. He stated he didn't receive messages, but just that he was there to confront Eric with his friends.
He had his buddies back.
The victim stated he had pictures and messages saved from the conversations where he let Eric know that he was a juvenile, and allegedly Eric did not care. The victim sent those pictures and videos to the officer, and he created a case of the evidence given to him. The second minor stated he was just present for the altercation, and he did not participate in hitting or kicking Eric. He also stated he had inappropriate messages and pictures from Eric and sent me an email with screenshots from the conversation. Those pictures were added to the evidence file. The third minor stated she was just in the vehicle when the boys saw Eric and jumped out to confront him. She recorded the altercation by the juveniles on her phone, and that video is also added to the evidence file.
Okay, let's get it straight.
Recap it.
So basically, this Eric Parks dude somehow got friended on Facebook. We don't know who befriended who first or who friended who first.
We'll get into that.
But basically, the officers was called to an area, and they come across these kids that was fucking this dude up.
Yeah.
And they said that dude was sending these inappropriate pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just wanted to recap, get everybody close to the truth, you know what I mean? And there was a minor that wasn't involved in the altercation that was filming the event.
So one of the kids' mother stated that they were driving down the street and the boys thought that they had seen Parks. So mom slows down the car to look, and the teens jump out of the car to go confront Parks. Mom stated that she started yelling to separate the teens once they began fighting. A witness was on scene and said that she got a call about the altercation and had drove behind Parks as he was leaving before the police arrived.
Now, we got teenage boys. Truth be told, you know they was like, we're going to whoop this dude's ass that's sending us and our friends this nasty bullshit. He's a pedophile. We ain't standing for this shit in our community. I'm just being real.
Well, yeah, you know, and they had all, you know, their teenage testosterone going.
Oh, yeah, they was wanting to fuck this dude up.
But I guarantee you their mom that was driving the car, whenever they jumped out, she was like, oh, shit, you know what I mean?
Come on, boys, come on, boys.
I bet that's the last thing she expected is for these teens just to jump out of the car like that, because she had to go park real quick and then run back there.
Right, she was trying to get control of the situation, I believe. But that's just my opinion. We've raised a lot of teenage children, and we have teenage children, so. But the detective asked the juveniles where Eric's belongings were, and they stated that they could take us to it because his phone and bag were near the bank. The officer was able to locate Eric's phone smashed into multiple pieces near the Citizens Bank on Morgan Street. They then asked the juveniles where this originated, as they were currently speaking on East Columbus Street. They all started speaking, stating it started somewhere around the 3rd or the 4th Street because Eric was allegedly kicked out of his apartment for being a pedophile.
After each juvenile was released to his or her guardian, the officer arrived at IU Morgan Hospital, where Parks was just getting ready to get discharged. After he signed his discharge paperwork, I entered his room and read him his Miranda warning.
You know, he was getting ready to be released, and he was like, fuck, man, the cops are here. He was getting ready to walk out, thought he was clear of all this bullshit, and then the cops go in there and read him his rights. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but.
During the conversation, Eric stated that his social media had been hacked, and he noticed it about 12 to 12:30 on July 14th, and that he had lost access to the account. He stated that he then appealed the matter through Facebook and was granted access back to the account just before 4:30, where he noticed multiple pictures, videos, and conversations were had through his account that he did not send. I asked him why the juveniles would have jumped him, and he stated they thought he was the one sending them, and he was not. The officer asked Eric why he smashed his phone, and he stated that he just got upset because the juveniles kept calling him a pedophile, and he is not that. Eric and the officer's entire conversation was captured on the body cam and uploaded for evidence. Now, Eric's smashed phone was collected and placed into evidence as well.
On 7/22/24, upon review of the case, a video was found showing Eric Parks engaged in sexually explicit act involving anal penetration with his fingers. Text message conversations accompanying the video include sexual explicit language from Parks, such as reference to male genitalia and descriptions of sexual activity. In the messages, Parks expresses sexual interest and shares a video in response to a request. He also declines an invitation to meet in person, stating he has to work. In additional messages, Parks states that he is gay and later sends a photo showing his anus with his face visible. After looking through the exchange messages, I watched a video of the fight that was recorded. A minor who was present during the incident recorded the assault on a mobile device. After reviewing the video, the following sequence of events was confirmed by investigators.
Parks is seen walking alone along the sidewalk when three male juveniles approach him. As they close the distance, one minor is yelling at Eric and upon reaching him, strikes him in the face. Immediately following this, the other two juveniles join in physically assaulting Eric.
You know, they was like, let's whoop this dude's ass.
Yeah, I got him.
Ski, I got your back, bro.
The video shows Eric collapsing to the ground in a fetal position. While he is down, all three juveniles continue to strike and kick him repeatedly, targeting areas from the waist to the head. Throughout the attack, Eric is heard screaming. The assault continues for several seconds without intervention from anyone that was there. The assault only ends after the parent arrives and instructs the juveniles to stop. Once the fight ends, the mother walks over to Eric Parks, who remains on the ground. She leans over and appears to speak to him, making a comment to the effect of, they're just 15-year-old kids. During this interaction, the mother appears to spit on Eric as she and one of the other minors walk away from the scene, and then they continue yelling at Eric.
I'd like to have heard what she said to him that you couldn't hear on camera, like, you little bitch-ass motherfucker. I bet they didn't feel like 15-year-old kids when they was punching you in your fucking bitch-ass face. I'm just speculating here, but...
You know it went like right in his face.
Oh, yeah. Hey, she paid the $200. Is
worth it.
Worth it is a free two-spit day. Fuck him. But the video also captures a nearby car that had stopped during the incident and several children riding bicycles in the vicinity, indicating that the assault occurred in full public view. After Eric stands and begins to walk away, the sound of police sirens can be heard approaching. The video also shows a minor actively on the phone with emergency dispatch at the time. Following the conclusion of the physical altercation involving Eric Parks, video footage shows the mother and another minor running towards Eric. The mother grabbing him by the shirt during this interaction. She is heard shouting, sit the fuck down, while physically attempting to force Eric to the ground. Eric can be heard telling the mother to quit as he pulls away from her grasp. She then positions herself directly in front of Eric, obstructing his movement and preventing him from leaving the area. She maintains this position and continues to block Eric's path until police officers arrive on the scene moments later. On September 5th, 2024, the detective conducted an interview with the mother in connection with the ongoing investigation. Prior to the beginning, the mother was advised that she was not under arrest and she was free to leave at any time. The detective began the interview by asking her if she understood why she had been asked to come in. She responded, "I guess the Garcias." I informed her that the interview pertained to a photograph that had been received, to which she replied that it was the photo that Eric Parks had sent.
Now I'm wondering, what does she mean by, "I guess the Garcias"? Am I stupid?
I don't know. I didn't see any Garcias.
They're going to have to reach out on Facebook and tell me what the Garcias is.
Yeah, tell us who Garcias is, please. We're nosy.
Mom stated that the victim was the recipient of the messages containing the photos and nasty images. When asked who his legal guardian was, Mom identified his grandmother. She further stated that another individual had also received messages related to the incident. At this point, the detective instructed Ashley to begin recounting the events from the beginning. She stated that she could not recall the exact dates of the incident, but remembered that on one evening, the boys came to her and her husband while they were in bed. The boys informed her that they had received a photo. She reported that she did not pay much attention at the time and went back to sleep. The following morning, they approached her and stated, "He is still sending messages to me." At that point, she said she began to believe the situation might be serious. She was later informed that the victim had received additional photos as well as a nasty video. She expressed concern and said she felt as though the victim might have been targeted or set up to see if they were gay. She stated that she and the others asked an individual to message Eric. According to her, Eric responded immediately. During the exchange, Eric asked the individual how old he was. She said this individual told Eric he was 15 years old, to which Eric replied that it was fine and that the conversation progressed from there. She explained that this individual was able to determine where Eric was living and took it upon himself to speak with a woman residing at that location. He learned that the woman had small children in the home, and out of concern, he decided to warn her. She described this individual as a nice-mannered boy.
Following this conversation, she said the woman confronted Eric and ultimately asked him to leave the residence. She added that later, one of the minors and his grandmother encountered Eric walking down the street. According to her, the grandmother approached Eric and said, "What the fuck is this?" I bet she had her phone up, like, showing the fucking nasty shit that he sent him.
I guarantee it.
She said that they were en route to Citizens Bank, which at the time was located on Morgan Street between 2nd and 3rd Street, when they informed them that Eric had abandoned his belongings and smashed his phone. She said that as they turned from Home Avenue onto Columbus Street, they observed a male walking. Upon closer observation, she identified the individual as Eric, noting that she recognized him by the two hand tattoos.
Now, at this point, she said all the boys exited her vehicle. She continued driving to a nearby church, put the vehicle in park abruptly, and ran towards the scene after hearing that the situation had become confrontational. She stated that when she arrived, they were doing their thing, and she began shouting, "Stop, stop."
doing their thing, boy. You know they were. She recalled standing over Eric and saying, "Those are 15-year-old boys." She said her main concern was to assess whether Eric was injured. She then informed Eric that law enforcement was on the way. According to her, Eric attempted to leave, but she told him that he was not allowed to. She stated that she held onto Eric's shirt as he was walking away, continuing to do so until they reached the corner near a brown house, at which point law enforcement arrived on the scene. I think it's kind of a little bit comical that she was, of course, this is what she's telling the law dogs, which we all, you know, we tell them what we what we think they want to hear, but she was concerned about him and went being injured. And then when she found out he wasn't injured, she spit in his fucking face. I can't be mad at him. This nasty ass dude deserves what he got, I guess. Just my opinion. You know, he got what he got. And unfortunately, as you're going to find out towards the end of the story, this dude just escalated and escalated. I mean, this mother and her kids were kind of on the right track. I mean, we can't
condone
vigilante justice shit, but since it's already done, I liked it.
The detective asked Mom to describe the nature of the messages Eric Parks had sent to the boys. She stated that the first message received was a video showing Eric inserting and removing a toothbrush from his rectum. She emphasized that the boys did not send any images in return. She noted that the victim in particular was opposed to any sexual or homosexual content and would not have engaged in such behavior. She further stated that Eric later sent another message containing an image that showed his rectum, genitals, and face. She said that the final images was sent by Eric depicting only his rectum. According to Mom, Eric also requested that the victim send a photo in return. She explained that it was around this time the boys decided to block Eric. They then this individual to initiate contact with him.
She then stated when they were all talking about it, it wasn't but 20 minutes later, Eric started commenting and communicating with this individual and started sending additional photographs. She was asked how Eric and one of the victims came to know each other. She responded that she believed their connection was made through a mutual friend. She stated that the initial conversation between Eric and the victim began on Facebook Messenger. When asked how long the communication between Eric and the victim had continued, she said the messages began the night prior at approximately 11 p.m. and continued into the following day. Up until the time of the incident, she noted that the boys were angry. When asked to clarify who she was referring to, she identified all the names of the individuals involved. She said that three of the four boys reside with her currently. When the detectives asked her what occurred after the boys exited the vehicle and encountered Eric, she basically said that they pressed him, referring to them confronting Eric, and she noted that that's what happened according to the video that she reviewed. Eric could be seen walking backwards as the boys approached him, and the individuals exited the vehicle and they advanced toward Eric in close proximity, at which point Eric began walking uphill. She stated that one of the boys later told her that Eric had put his hands on him, which prompted them to react physically. She stated that she reviewed the video herself to assess what had occurred, and she said that the minor had also remarked that he did something for me to connect, implying that Eric initiated contact that justified his response. So basically, dude said that Eric raised his hand or struck him or put his hands on him, and that's why it was okay to punch him in the mouth. Right.
I thought it was okay.
I did too.
You don't send asshole pictures to somebody and not... don't expect not to get hit in the face.
No, hell no. I mean, we have a 15-year-old son, and it just, I could not even imagine the rage I would feel if I had their phone and I opened it up and there's a grown-ass man fucking himself with a toothbrush and shit and sticking fingers up his booty hole. I would fucking lose my mind. I would lose my mind.
I guarantee it.
As they did, and I ain't mad at him a lick. The mom said she was yelling and attempted to intervene throughout the incident. By the time she reached Eric, the boys had already backed away from him. See, I mean, they were just acting on rage. They weren't trying to really hurt the dude. I mean, it was just all emotional.
They were just checking
him. Emotional. You know what I mean? I'd be emotional too, gotta say.
Wouldn't that be considered a crime of passion?
Hell yeah. It would. I would consider it. I wouldn't even try it. I would dismiss it as soon as it got on my desk.
If you was the prosecutor?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
And again, we can't condone shit like that, but I mean, shit does happen. Like I said, if we opened up our 15-year-old's phone and saw that stuff, I honestly couldn't tell you what I would do. I think they kind of held back a little bit if it was me. I just would have fucking flipped my lid.
When asked if she had spit on Eric, she denied the accusation, stating that she had not done so.
She was probably so mad she may have not have remembered it.
I mean, to be honest with you. Blacked out. Anyway, she explained that she had heard rumors the previous day before the interview suggesting that she had spit on Eric. According to Mom, the claim was made by someone attempting to get a protective order against her child. She further emphasized that she did not spit on Eric and she does not condone such actions. Yeah, I bet she blacked out and just didn't remember.
Had to be.
She was having a false memory.
Absolutely. So we're going through the PCA, and basically it interviews everybody involved in it. As far as the minors and the mother goes, they all basically have the same story, exactly what happened and what we all know happened. I do want to get into the grandmother of Eric Parks' interview before we get into the really bad shit.
So, in October of 2024, Eric Parks' grandmother, and we'll call her Granny, she came in for an interview with the detectives. Now, according to her, Eric had sent obscene photographs to a 15-year-old boy. Now, when asked whether Eric knew the boy, she replied that she believed he did. This is just why she thinks she's in there and the things that she's heard.
I feel bad for this lady, too.
When Granny is asked if she has seen the photos, she confirmed that she had. She said the photos were of Eric's butthole, fingering his butthole. She explained that the images were initially sent to her step-grandson and then forwarded to her so she would know what she was dealing with.
And that was in quotes. She actually said so she knew what she was dealing with. I could not imagine my grandmother having to be in the sheriff's department looking at photos of my ass and knowing that I had just... It's fucked up. I feel so bad for her, man.
So, when asked if Eric had spoken to her about the incident, Granny stated that Eric told her his account had been hacked. She questioned this explanation, asking Eric, if the photos were not on your Facebook, how could someone hack your account and send them to somebody else?
Even Granny's smarter than the average bear.
According to Granny, Eric had no response. Granny expressed that her main concern was that this was not the first time something like this had occurred. She stated this was the second such incident, the first taking place approximately a year ago. In that instance, Eric had sent photos to a woman he believed to be his girlfriend. She stated that the woman involved at the time was over the age of 21. When asked when Eric told her about the prior incident and whether she believed him, Granny responded that she knew he was lying. She stated, "I know Eric," and added that he lies frequently and has an attitude that he is Eric Parks and he doesn't have to do what anyone tells him to do.
The detectives then asked Granny what she believed Eric would say if brought in for questioning. She replied that he would lie and say he had been hacked and that it was not him. When asked if she would believe that explanation if she were in my position, she responded, no. She affirmed that Eric's face was visible in the photos and stated that there is no denying it. She concluded that if Eric took the photos, no one else could have hacked his account and sent them. He had to have been the one that sent him himself. She stated that Eric is currently living with her, but at the time of the incident, he was living with somebody else. She reported that since the incident, she has taken Eric's phone away and believes he no longer has a phone. She also confirmed that Eric has not used her phone to access his Facebook account. She stated that she received the photos on July 15, 2024. She explained that when the individual sent her the pictures of Eric, he did not want to send him to her because he knew she wouldn't want to see him. However, she insisted on seeing the images so she would know exactly what she was dealing with. She said this occurred the day before Eric had got beaten up, and the photos were received shortly thereafter. She emphasized that Eric's face was clearly visible in the images. So even Granny's like, look, man, it's my grandson, but he lies all the time. His face is in the video. Even a grandmother, as I am, can see that it's his face, it's his pictures, it's his Facebook. What, nobody hacked in this bullshit?
There's no denying it.
No. You know it's bad when Granny admits that you were wrong. That's got to be bad. Granny's want to take up for your ass.
All the time.
So the detectives contacted Eric Parks, and they are asking him to come in to the police department for an interview. On March 5th, 2025, he did appear at the police department for the scheduled interview related to the ongoing investigation. He was advised that he was not under arrest and he was free to leave at any time.
When the detective asked if he understood the purpose of the interview, Eric stated that he was aware it was about the incident involving the minors. He stated that at the time of the incident, he was residing with someone other than his granny. He said that this minor added him on Facebook and they began texting. Eric admitted to sending inappropriate pictures, to which he confirmed were images of his butt. Eric said that the day after sending the photos, he asked how old this person was. They initially stated 16 years old, then later changed it to 15. Eric claimed that this individual was attempting to arrange a meetup, which Eric declined. And then the following day, Eric had blocked this person on Facebook. Eric stated that this individual that he was talking with on Facebook and had sent those photos to the person he was living with, who then asked Eric to leave the residence. So he gathered his belongings and left. He reported that shortly thereafter, he was located on about 4th Street because he was walking. He said this group began confronting him, so he attempted to walk away. At the intersection of Home Avenue and Columbus Street near a church in Martinsville, Eric said a vehicle pulled up and 3 to 4 individuals exited the car. He stated that the victim was among one of the people in the group and was getting in his face, after which the group began physically assaulting him. Eric then identified the group of assailants.
So when they asked him about his injuries that he sustained during the altercation, Eric stated that he had only a busted lip and a mark under his right eye. He explained that he went to the hospital out of concern that he might have re-injured his back due to a head trauma he suffered during the beating. When questioned about the status of his phone, he said that he broke it himself, attributing the damage to his quote-unquote anger issues. Concerning the inappropriate photos, Eric admitted to taking and sending the photos of his buttocks. He confirmed that he sent to these photos only to one of the victims.
So on August 22nd, 2025, the detective applied for a search warrant for Eric Parks' Facebook Messenger account. The warrant was granted. After it was granted, they conducted a search of the Messenger content. During this review, they observed that Eric Parks had indeed transmitted a photograph. So based on the information, there was probable cause to charge Eric Parks with 2 counts of level 6 dissemination of matter harmful to minors.
So, and speaking of minor, all this shit is really minor compared to what the fuck they find out when they start really digging into this Eric Parks dude's shit. So without further ado, let's get into it. You're really going to see how big of a piece of shit this dude really was. And it was just the tip of the iceberg, him sending these videos to these minors in Morgan County. So
on August 11th, 2025, which they were also doing the previous investigation about the fight and all that, they got a ICAC, which is Indiana Crimes Against Children Task Force, sent a cyber tip from June 11th, 2025, that reported that this app It's Media Lab / Kik. It's an like a messaging app on your phone.
K-I-K, not K-I-C-K. There's two different ones that I just found out today, but yes.
Yeah, the K-I-C-K is like a streaming app, and this is more of like a message app. So that there were videos of child sexual abuse material was being shared by forwarding videos in a private chat to another user. In the cyber tip, Kik reported that 51 total files had been located in this particular report. The detective also advised that Kik had made 6 other cyber tips that are connected to this same case. The detective was able to obtain a subpoena from Comcast Cable for the indicated IP address that associated the Kik accounts, which there were multiple, that were reported in the cyber tips. The detective said that this is the same IP address that was used for every single report. Now, in the records received from Comcast Cable, they identified the account holder and the address for that account holder. Kik did provide limited account information in their cyber tip, and in this particular one, they provided an email address. The detective said that in researching this name and address on this account, that he found some information in their in-house system that connected Eric Parks to be associated with the address in question.
Media Lab and Kik did provide some, but not all, of the CSAM material that was being sent. The detective advised that reviewing the content, it ranged from prepubescent minors look, folks, this prepubescent word is so fucked up for me to describe. I'm just going to say
PPB.
PPB, because that means a little child that hasn't even reached puberty yet. Bear with me. Engaged in various sex acts to include self-masturbation, oral self, intercourse with adult men, intercourse with adult women, and PPB minors, and PPB minors being sodomized by an adult male. The detective indicated that he received more records from the Media Lab and / Kik after serving them with a search warrant for all of the records they could facilitate. In speaking with the detectives, he indicated that they provide a large amount of records and stated that some of the additional CSAM involved infants. That's fucked up. The detective was currently arranging to pick up those files from the detective and will provide a supplemental information once they review them. Could you imagine being these detectives?
No.
And having to fucking look?
Absolutely not.
At
no, I can't.
Children that are pre-puberty.
Infants.
Infants. No. I mean, I don't know, man. I've got pissed off before, back before I had my own business, and, you know, dude would be like, hey, you need to carry this bundles of shingles through fucking a foot of mud. I'm like, fuck you. I could only imagine my face if my boss would like, hey, you need to look at these nasty ass pictures of these babies and people
getting hurt.
Yeah, and oh no, I'd been like, fuck you, I'm not doing that shit.
So on August 15th, investigators with the sheriff's office and deputies were sent to the address of Kyle Parks to execute 2 search warrants related to this investigation. Now they were to process the residence and collect electronics from the residence and from the physical person of Eric Parks. The detective advised that Eric was not initially located at the residence, but was found by investigators while the search warrant was being executed. He also advised that there were electronics located that were seized from the residence during the search warrant. They include a Samsung tablet, a Dell Inspiron all-in-one computer, a Samsung cell phone. When Eric was located, he did not have any electronics on his person. Eric was asked if he would be willing to speak to me, and he agreed and was transported to the sheriff's office.
Eric says that he does live in the address And he says that he lives with his grandma and his dad. He says that no one else lives at the residence. He said that his dad has lived with his grandma for about 2 years. He says that it's been about 2 years since he started living there on and off. He then clarified, saying that he has been living with his grandma for the last year and a half, not on and off. He says that he sleeps on the couch in the living room. He says that he does not stay in any other bedroom in the house, and that is where he has slept ever since living there. The detective asked Eric if he had any idea why I would have asked him to come talk to me. He says maybe something from last year with his brother's case, which we're not going to go into that because it's none of our business, basically.
And it has nothing to do with this.
Right. The detective told Eric that it had nothing to do with either of those incidents. He then asked Eric about using any other apps other than YouTube, and he mentioned earlier to watch car detailing videos. He says that he doesn't and hasn't had a phone since July of 2024, and we'll note that that was the incident where the little dudes whooped his ass. Eric mentioned that earlier that he watches YouTube on a smart TV that is in the living room where he stays. He claimed that he has never used anyone else's phone either for any purpose. He did say that there were times that his mom would call his grandma's phone and he would talk to his mom on her phone, but his grandma would be right there with him when he does. He said that the last phone he had was the TLC phone, which was an Android. He said that the last time he had an email address was when he had his phone. He said that his email address was Eric Parks something, that was in quotes. He said that it was a Gmail account. He said that he thinks the rest of his email addresses contain numbers, but he couldn't remember what they were. He said that he only had one Gmail address. He said that he had Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram on his phone when he had it. The detective asked Eric what happened with his last phone that he had, and Eric said that he broke it, which we're referring back to when he got pissed off, supposedly, and broke his phone. We all know what the fuck that was.
When he got his ass whooped.
Right. He said that he has anger issues. When the detective asked him what he was mad about, Eric said that he sent pictures to a person who told them they were of age, and he found out later they weren't of age. Well, a 16-year-old boy to me, to a 22-year-old man, is not of age, in my opinion, but that's what the fuck Eric says. Eric also says that he sent those pictures on Facebook. He said that he didn't know the person, that this person added him on Facebook, and that they just started talking. The detective would advise that the pictures he believes Eric were mentioning are related to the case that we referenced at the beginning of this podcast. Eric also said that his grandma does not allow him to have anything since that incident. He said that he doesn't use any other computers or tablets even when his grandma isn't around. He then explains to Eric that there have been some things that have been going on at his grandma's house that included images being sent and received. The detective explained to Eric that some of these are associated with his Gmail address. He then told Eric that it was pinpointed to his grandma's house by her Wi-Fi. Eric says that his grandma has everything locked up and asked how could he do anything. I told Eric that that's why I'm trying to figure out who's doing it, and he says, quote, not me. Eric said that he's not been on anything since the last year. I could just see this interview in my head. You know, the detectives know what they fucking know. They know it's not grandma fucking looking through this shit. And he's like, well, my grandma took my phone and I haven't had a phone since I smashed it when I sent the toothbrush fucking myself in the ass video. So I've not been allowed to do anything. I mean, I can just see it.
Can you imagine what the detectives are sitting there thinking?
Inside, they got to be madder than fuck.
Because they know what they've seen on these files.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, looking back at it, they're probably like, this fucking dude was a piece of shit and an idiot.
So Eric talks about being curious with his sexuality, which is what made him, he said, start sending pictures on Facebook. Eric says he wasn't really sure what he was curious about. Now, during the interview, Eric was adamant that he doesn't use any electronics in his grandma's house except for the smart TV. He says there is a computer and phones that belong to his dad and grandma and a tablet that his grandma keeps with her in the residence. He then talks about passcodes being on the computer, phones, and the tablet not having one. Eric then says that grandma only keeps it with her sometimes and that the tablet would be located at her desk. He does know the passcode to the computer and says that sometimes grandma will help. He will help her do something on it. Maybe help pay bills or look for something. Who knows?
What that says to me is he waited on Granny to go to sleep and his little punk ass got up there and knew the passcode to it and was getting on it.
Exactly. So the detective then tells Eric that they were there because of things that were happening involved children. The detective told Eric that someone at his grandma's house is doing these things. He says that he's not. And then Eric asked if I don't think someone could hack, here we go with the hack, into someone's shit and do that shit. I told Eric, not with the information that I have, no. Eric then makes a comment about using a tablet. He says, how can I get on a damn tablet, use his email address? You have to verify your email address. The detective told Eric, I never said that anyone was using his email addresses, and told him that the information was associated with his email addresses. I tried explaining to him that his email addresses were used as a username for an app. I explained to him that it is possible to sign up for apps without accessing the email and be able to use the app without verifying the information through your email.
And what he's meaning there is you can sign up for these apps
and have access
and put your email address in there and not actually check your
email
shit.
And
yes, absolutely.
So Eric asked who said that he was doing stuff. The detective explained to Eric that the information was reported and how the detective got involved and assigned to investigate the case. The detective asked Eric if there was ever a time that he could have used electronics without his grandma knowing and made some mistakes. He then said no. The detective asked Eric what is going on at grandma's, and he tells me he doesn't know, that he really doesn't. At this point, Eric is getting a little emotional, crying a little bit, and during this interview, his demeanor has changed significantly.
Because he knows his ass is busted.
Significantly, I can't even talk to him.
He knows he's fucking hit right here.
Right. So the detective revisited Eric using electronics. Eric says that when he helps his grandma with things on the computer, Eric says that it was never unsupervised. Granny was always watching him. And then he asked about using the tablet. Eric says that he only got on the tablet to check the cameras.
The detective then mentions to Eric that he would think that Eric would feel better if he would just let go of whatever he was holding back. So at this point, the detective sees that dude's fucking stressing out. Eric says, quote, you know what I'm holding back, that I think I should just kill myself. It would make everyone fucking happy. He says that, quote, he thinks about doing it all the time. After a few minutes, they took a break. Now, because of the comments that Eric had made, they arranged to have one of the uniformed deputies assist in getting Eric to the hospital for evaluation. Good for them, man, because dude's fucking crashing out at this point. But during the break in the interview, Eric makes additional comments about how he should have killed himself and how he wishes he would just fall over dead. Eric then removes cards from his wallet and starts trying to slice his wrists with them. The detectives re-entered the room, and they detained Eric so he could be transported for evaluation for the comments he had made on top of the actual attempts he made with cutting his wrist. So dude was taking debit cards and his ID and shit and fucking trying to slice his shit up. A little too late to do the, I guess I can't finish that sentence, but. So they transported Eric to IU Morgan Hospital, and then later he was transported to an inpatient evaluation at a facility in Bloomington. probably the fifth fucking floor. So when they received the search warrant under the cause number, which allowed the visual and forensic evaluation and examination of the Dell computer and the tablet and all that shit that was seized at the residence, this is where it gets disturbing. Here's what the fuck they found.
So the records consisted of multiple different accounts associated with Kik. The records included various different logs, including chat logs and files of child sexual abuse material. Now, so there were several different accounts, but there were a lot of files. So there were 71 total files, including pictures of Eric himself, CSAM, and other pornography. The detective noted that the photos of Eric he could identify because he's had face-to-face contact with them. Now, there are a total of 14 files contained in one account. There's a 34-second video of a prepubescent minor under the age of 10 removing her underwear and doing other things. There was a 7-second video of a prepubescent minor under the age of 10 engaged in sex with an adult male. An image of a postpubescent minor under the age of 16 with exposed upper and lower private areas. A 42-second video of a prepubescent minor under the age of 10 being sodomized by an adult male. A 45-second video of a prepubescent minor under the age of 10 performing oral sex on an adult male.
This is the shit this dude is watching, receiving, and sending. It's fucking horrendous and disgusting.
A 6-second video of the same prepubescent minor mentioned in the above 34-second video masturbating. A 4-second video of a prepubescent minor under the age of 5 being sodomized by an adult male. A 16-second video of a prepubescent minor under the age of 10 with her lower private areas exposed. A 31-second video of a prepubescent minor under the age of 10 engaged in sex acts with an adult male. A 12-second video of an adult female engaged in sex with a prepubescent minor under the age of 10. There's an 18-second video of a prepubescent minor under the age of 10 engaged in sex with an adult male. A 4-second video of an adult female performing oral sex on a prepubescent minor under the age of 10. There's an image of an adult male touching the private area of a prepubescent minor under the age of 5. And then an image of a prepubescent minor under the age of 10 with her private areas very, very exposed. The detective advised that the content listed above was disseminated to other individuals, meaning that he is receiving these and he is sending them.
Yeah, one of these videos were sent from this dude 21 times. Another one was sent 6, sent 3, sent 4, sent 2, sent 14 different times. So dude's not only receiving this shit and enjoying it, but he's fucking sending it to other people.
Right. And on there was another account that contained 243 total files, including pictures of Eric himself, CSAM, other pornography, which Eric's face is shown, and his anus and his penis are all shown in these files that he's also sending along with these videos. Him being in these videos, it doesn't say that it is him in them. It just says that he received and transmitted them.
The bad thing about some of these videos, listeners, is it literally says, okay, I'm just going to say one of them, a 32-second video of a prepubescent minor under the age of 14 being sodomized by an adult male. And in the video, the minor is screaming in pain. That just breaks my heart. That's what's making us want to bring this shit to light. There's little kids suffering in these videos. It makes me wonder, like, why can't they find the metadata on this shit and find out where this shit's coming from? And also, there's one that says there's an image of a prepubescent minor under the age of 2. The image appears to be AI generated, and there's no sufficient metadata for this image. But it doesn't say there's no sufficient metadata for a bunch of these videos. So obviously they have metadata for some of this shit, right?
Right. But, you know, there's apps and stuff like that that can, I guess, get rid of this stuff. Now, there are also communications where Eric is seeking specific types of content. Eric refers to young girls several times in different communication. He also makes mention of his virgin asshole in the chats. These messages are consistent with some of the images and videos himself that were found.
He's not going to have to worry about that for very much longer, I would think.
No. So the detective also advised that there are 4 additional accounts that have the same kind of material in them, to include photographs of Eric, nude photographs of Eric, videos of Eric nude, pornography, and CSAM. There were approximately 35 additional files that contained CSAM within 4 additional accounts. And, you know, they just range all over the place.
You know, here at 69 South, we really just wanted to bring awareness of these type of fucking people that are in our communities, in our neighborhoods. I mean, it could be your next door neighbor, what looks like a nice dude mowing your grass. He could be running in his fucking house and wanting to search little infants suffering. It's horrible. It's fucking horrible. We just want to bring, you know, awareness to it. And this is going to bring us to the next subject in a big episode we got coming up. This sextortion thing, man, we really need to bring awareness to this to you parents. We really have to start being so fucking vigilant when it comes to our children and electronics. Because at the end of the day, that's what it all boils down to, is these electronics, the internet, and our children.
Right. And, you know, it's not just the sextortion thing. We have, you know, underage kids out here committing suicide. And it's not only the sextortion thing, it's also this AI companion thing.
And we will definitely going to get into that, but it has a lot to do with everything. You know, curiosity is one thing. And, you know, when we were children, the curiosity would literally be like a 15-year-old or 14-year-old guy. We would want to see a set of boobs or something. It's fucking grown so much. It's just, it's horrible. It's the devil, really, I believe.
Mm-hmm. But that wraps up our episode today.
We hope everybody involved in this case gets the help they need and can recover from this bullshit, man. And join us on the sextortion episode, because it's really going to touch everybody and hopefully bring awareness, man. We need to stay vigilant. I just can't say it enough. We need to stay vigilant with our children, the internet, the electronics, every fucking thing. But until then, have a good day, good evening, whatever, man.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL Stars of Tomorrow.